At this time, we bring along the famous Tom Joyner, one of the great broadcasters in America, has been for many, many years, a pioneer, a man who was in the forefront of starting the talk show hosting many, many years ago. Tom Joyner, I don't know how to introduce you, except there's nobody any better than Tom Joyner, so come on in.
Well, we have a president in Barack Obama who has set aside the duties of president to openly campaign for Hillary Clinton. We are paying him to campaign. In a speech, Obama told the predominantly black audience that he really, really wanted Hillary Clinton to be elected. Well, of course he does. And Hillary shares that concern. Unless Hillary replaces Obama, all of the scandals and charges against her and him simply get swept under the rug. If Trump wins, the Justice Department can no longer block the truth from the American people. Even the thought of that makes Obama, Clinton, and Democrats like Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi stay up nights on Maylocks. Now, how did America wind up with Barack Obama in the White House? His time there will cost our country for decades to come. Last week, I gave you the truth about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Today, I'll continue that truth with the mainstream media trying to hide it from you, the truth about Obama and Islam. Most Americans are too busy trying to support themselves and their families to be able to focus on why we are where we are with both Obama and Islam. The honest truth is that very few Americans understand Islam or what its ultimate objectives are, and few saw the rise of Barack Obama and the connection to Islam and communism. I'm going to make some statements today based on deep research and common sense. You're free to agree or disagree, but I urge you to listen before making that decision. The question has been asked, is Barack Obama a Muslim? Well, consider that he was born of a Muslim father, and in Islam, Obama's birth made him a Muslim. Obama grew up among Muslims and communists with whom both his mother and his father followed. He was mentored by a devout Muslim and communist, Frank Marshall Davis. His entire life has been exposed to people who hate the United States. Obama's mother registered him for school in Indonesia as a Muslim. Indonesia is the country with the most radical Muslims and the greatest number of Muslims in the world. In school, he was taught the Quran, and at home, he was surrounded by communists. How can his head not be filled with anti-American thought? While liberal Democrats and their leader, Hillary Clinton, lie about Obama's birth, Obama ran for the Illinois State Senate in 07, where his pre-election pamphlets, these are pamphlets put out by the Obama people, told the world that Obama was born in Kenya. Obama's campaign put that out, and Obama never denied it. The liberal left forced Donald Trump to say that Obama was born in the United States or have that out there for them to use to divert attention from the record of Hillary Clinton. Now, I'm not a conspiracy guy, but when you tell me you were born in Kenya, and when you enroll in college as a foreign student and take money as a foreign student, I take you at your word. In order to run for president, Obama had to create a paper trail that defied his own statements about where he was born, because as a Kenyan, he would have been ineligible for the office. There are two cities in America where Democrats control so strongly that lend themselves to dishonesty. One is New York, where Democrats like Robert Kennedy and Hillary Clinton went to reach the Senate. They moved there just to get into the Senate because they knew that New York Democrats and the unions would elect them. The other is Chicago, a place where crime, fraud, and union thuggery and corruption has existed since the city was founded. This year, somebody has been shot in Chicago on the average of every 2 hours. And yet no one seems anxious to stop it. Chicago is a cesspool. While black Americans in Chicago and around the country claim that black lives matter in their assault against the police, black lives are being destroyed in record numbers through Planned Parenthood's abortion mills and blacks killing blacks in the streets. So how did Barack Obama rise to the presidency? Simply put, the persona of Obama is a creation of Chicago political hoods and money from radical Muslim countries that seek our destruction. The complexity of his march to the White House is deep. For years, the power structure behind Barack Obama had sought a man with black skin who could smile and joke and unite black voters behind him, and they found him in Barack Hussein Obama. Sarcasm was his greatest asset on the campaign trail. Facts did not matter. Just demean and make fun of the competition. It worked. Black Americans still had not realized that they had been conned and misled by an increasingly radical Democrat Party. They fell heavily for Obama's pie-in-the-sky promises, just as they have fallen for empty promises from the Democrat Party for more than 50 years. 8 years later, black America is worse off than before Obama was elected, and liberal Democrats to continue to pretend it's the fault of Republicans. Self-appointed black leaders, posing as men of the cloth, have been enriched through the years by a Democrat power base. These men sold their souls and black Americans out for their pieces of silver. As a presidential candidate, Barack Obama made clear his intentions to fundamentally change our country and to bring us down in the world. He took as his main White House advisor a vindictive Muslim named Valerie Jarrett, who told all that they would punish anybody not supporting Obama, and they followed through. Obama and Jarrett have worked diligently to bring radical Muslims from the Muslim Brotherhood into the very heart of our government, some of them in key positions, such as Homeland Security. There is nothing like having your enemy inside privy to your plans. Valerie Jarrett is Iranian and a devout Muslim. She has deep ties to radical elements in Iran, and so it's no surprise that Obama, under her guidance, has focused his attention on aiding and abetting Iran in its pursuit of nuclear weapons and the destruction of Israel. Each day, the Ayatollahs spur on anti-American hate and rhetoric, and yet Obama continues to strengthen them. Almost weekly, Iran taunts the United States and snubs Obama, and yet he remains blissfully unaware of not having a backbone. Iranian gunboats harass our ships in international waters. They just threatened and shot our planes shoot our planes out of the sky over those international waters. Iranians start each day with death chants for America. They use these bullying instances to send a word to the other Middle Eastern countries that they, Iran, is powerful enough to slap Obama's face repeatedly and get away with it. The truth is that Iran was in poor financial shape, virtually on its knees, before Obama and Jarrett forwarded them more than $1 billion in cash, untraceable and freely available to the Iranian despots to fund international terrorism. That money had been sent to America by the Shah of Iran before his downfall. It was to purchase American-made planes, and it had been held for decades before Obama decided to release it. Following that, Obama again sent millions more to Iran to get them to follow through on their promise to release captive Americans. Still, Iran insults Obama at every turn. Again, the idea is to portray themselves as a mighty power in the Middle East and to show other Middle Eastern countries that they can humble the great Satan, the United States. Obama has allowed them to make provocation after provocation without any defense. And that has not gone unnoticed in the Muslim world. They no longer fear our power. And that does not bode well for future provocations against us. To complicate matters, Barack Obama has led an enormous decline in America's ability to defend itself. Our Navy is at its weakest state since World War I. Morale in the military at an all-time low, and supplies are desperately needed in places like Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. Under Obama, America is weaker than ever, our enemies are stronger than ever, and our country is divided more than ever among its people. Donald Trump pointed out that our generals have been reduced to rubble, and Hillary Clinton was quick to say that Trump was attacking our generals. But think about that. Our generals did not reduce themselves to rubble. It was the Obama and Clinton administration that reduced them to rubble. Obama has systematically forced top military officers to resign when they disagree with him, which is often. He has rejected their military advice again and again, even though Obama has no more judgment on military matters than Barney Fife. This constant demonization of Hillary's opponent is direct from the Democrat playbook. If it was not Trump, they were prepared to demonize each of the other Republican candidates, and their willing media attack dogs were ready to join the attack. If you have nothing to run on yourself, keep voters focused on your opponent. Hillary cites her experience. Where? Iran? Iraq? Libya? Syria, Benghazi, they've all been disasters. Her chief experience is in destroying evidence against her and lying to cover the lies she just told. This first so-called black president has done more harm to race relations in the United States than we could have ever imagined. He promised to promote racial healing, to bring us together, but his actions defy his words. The Obama Justice Department, first under a racist, Eric Holder, and then Loretta Lynch, has brought more corruption than Holder, if that is possible. Obama, Jarrett, and Lynch simply will not enforce the laws of the country unless it is to agitate people against the police or to defend black criminals shot by police resisting arrest. At this juncture, Obama's so-called Justice Department is totally focused on protecting the criminal behavior of Hillary Clinton. Obama told us that, as president, he would not take vacations like George Bush did. And yet he and his wife have lived the high life on vacations. On her trip to Africa, Michelle Obama listed her minor daughters as high-level assistants in order to make taxpayers pay the bill. Now we're told that Obama will take off the month of October to campaign for Hillary Clinton. Why? It's obvious. Obama is desperate. If Donald Trump is elected, the protection that Hillary would offer after he leaves office and the criminal behavior of Hillary Clinton would face consequences. If Obama can get Hillary elected, they all escape justice and corruption goes on as usual. We don't kid ourselves. There are Republicans who benefit from the corruption in government, and they are actively trying to undercut the Trump campaign. I lost all respect for some of these Republicans when they feared that Trump would form a third party if he lost the primary. They were desperate. They conspired to force Trump to make a pledge that he would endorse whoever became the party's nominee, and they each made that pledge. They didn't think Trump could win. But when Trump went on to win the nomination, something these Republicans did not expect, several of them broke their promise to support whoever won the nomination. To me, that is detestable. They knew who the other candidates were and could have easily said that they would not endorse Trump if he was elected. But they did not think he had a chance, and so they were willing to sacrifice their own credibility in a calculated move. Jeb Bush, John Kasich of Ohio, Ted Cruz of Texas, and Carly Fiorino failed to honor their word. The Bush family joined the parade. Their actions may well cause the election of a scheming, devious, unethical woman in Hillary Clinton. I was not anti-Cruz, but if Rick Perry runs against Cruz for the Texas Senate seat, I will donate the maximum amount to Perry's campaign and encourage my many friends in Texas to support Perry, a man who lost in the primary, but who kept his word to support the people's nominee. Now, is Barack Obama a Muslim? Does it really matter? He's done his damage and will continue that damage until his last day in office. He will try to release the last of the Gitmo prisoners, the very worst of the worst terrorists, and he will empty our jails of as many prisoners as he can accomplish. These criminals then go back onto our streets. But Obama and family need not worry. They have 24/7 protection from the armed Secret Service men and women. Hillary has that same protection all of her life. That's why she doesn't mind if they take our guns away. The truth is that Barack Obama was born a Muslim, and an Islam that makes one a Muslim for life. The Bible of Islam, the Quran, teaches its followers to kill anybody who leaves the so-called religion. In Obama, we have the most recognizable man in the world, a threat to what the Quran proclaims if he left Islam. And yet, Obama has not been killed. The actions and rhetoric of Barack Obama are of that of a man who detests this country and all that we stand for, thus his pledge to fundamentally change America. I personally do not believe that Obama has rejected Islam. On the contrary, I believe that we will find the truth once he leaves office. Remember that Obama bowed to the king of Saudi Arabia, a Muslim. On Friday, September 9, the House of Representatives approved a bill that would allow the families of Americans killed on 9/11 to sue Saudi Arabia. That bill is already passed in the Senate, but Obama says he's going to veto it to protect the Saudis. On 9/11, 19 Muslims attacked our country, killing almost 3,000 innocent Americans. Of those 19, 15 were from Saudi Arabia. Again, the Saudis practice the most radical form of Islam. Why would the President of the United States favor those radical Muslims over dead Americans? He has said that he doesn't want a suit to anger Saudi Arabia. Really? Why is he not angry at Saudi Arabia? But whether or not Obama is a Muslim really doesn't matter. What he's done to the country is what matters. And whether or not he did it as a Muslim or as a closet protector of Islam, the damage is done. If he can manage to get Hillary Clinton into the presidency, all of his unconstitutional executive actions remain in place. Hillary has said she intends to follow Obama's policies. Another 4 years of Obama. Obamacare, for instance, never had a prayer of being sustainable. I said that in my commentaries years ago. It was designed so that its demise would come after Obama leaves office, and that's soon. 2017 will be the year that Obamacare implodes. Democrats will tell you that they had the best of intentions, and they're sorry that you had to suffer through the agony of Obamacare's slow death. Then they'll tell you that we have to just move on, move along. That's the mantra after every liberal Democrat disaster. It's old news, let's just move along. That's what they told you when they wasted hundreds of millions of dollars on a failed solar company called Solyndra. That money was gobbled up by friends of Obama and Jarrett, and the taxpayers were left holding the bag. What to do? Democrats said, just move along, and Republicans did nothing about it. You don't have to be a Republican to see the damage that liberal, progressive Democrats have done to the country since the party's inception as a racist, Klan-plagued political party that sought to keep blacks in America in slavery. Democrats fought hard to keep black people in that slave system. At the beginning of the Civil War, no Republican owned a slave. They were all owned by Democrats. Now I'll get to the danger of radical Islam in America in a moment, but it's important to realize that it was only after blacks were given the right to vote that the Democrat Party changed their tactics. Having failed to keep blacks subjugated, they now sought to move them from slavery plantations to political plantations, where their votes could be assured. Beginning with Lyndon Johnson, Democrats conspired to shower money and benefits upon black America, to cause them to become dependent upon government. It took the incentive away from what had been a proud people. They found themselves locked into urban poverty pockets with little or no way to escape. To ensure that they snuggled closer to liberal Democrats, it was necessary to find a scapegoat for them to focus on, and that became the Republican Party. Not because Democrat claims were true, but because dependence on government made most blind to reality. Now, to Islam in America. Estimates are that by 2030, just 14 years from now, there will be approximately 6,216,000 followers of Islam in America. History shows that when Muslims are in the minority, they remain silent. But when they grow in numbers, they start making demands upon their host country and threatening jihad if those demands are not met. We're hearing those demands now. It's obvious that the Islamic Quran is at great odds with the U.S. Constitution. And it is equally obvious that Muslims cannot assimilate to live the American dream with the Quran in their minds, hearts, and souls. After all, they must take over America according to the Quran, and they must institute Sharia law in America by destroying our Constitution, something that liberal Democrats are calling for even today, Sharia law. Now, Sharia law will enslave us to Islam if it ever gets legal recognition. Under Sharia law, if you insult a Muslim or Islam, they can kill you legally. If a woman is raped, she must be stoned to death. But the Muslim rapist lives on. A woman must have 4 male witnesses who actually observed the rape in order to be freed. Still, liberal Democrats like Maxine Waters and others actually call for Sharia law in this country. We have homegrown Muslims being radicalized in mosques across this country. A case in point, the Fort Hood massacre, where Muslim Major Nadal was a U.S. soldier who took the oath of allegiance to America and the Constitution. But he threw it all away to pick up a gun and kill his fellow soldiers. Why? Because the Islamic Quran told him to do it. By not killing, he would be a bad Muslim. By killing infidels, he became a good Muslim, according to the Bible of Islam, the Quran. Do Jews and Christians proclaim to kill all believers and who disbelieve of Islam? Does the Christian Bible teach peace and tolerance, or does it make it clear that Christians have a duty to kill Muslims? The answer is clear. No other religion on earth does that except for Islam. Protectors of Islam, and many liberals in America, argue that it is just 7 to 10% of the Muslim population who follow the Quran dictates blindly. But if we take the lower number, that would still mean that by 2030, there would almost be 4.5 million radical Muslims in the United States who do take the Quran literally. 4.5 million. It takes just one to blow themselves up in crowds. Just one to drive a truck through a crowded street. Let me give you an example. You take your kids out trick-or-treating at Halloween. At one house, they dump 100 pieces of candy into your bag, and they tell you they're all good except for just 2 that are poisonous. Would you allow your children to eat anything in that bag? Of course not. And that puts the lie to claims that only 7 to 10% of Muslims follow Quran dictates to kill you and that you should feel better about your odds of staying alive. That is the exact reason that we cannot allow Syrian refugees into the United States, let alone the 550% increase in those refugees that Hillary Clinton wants to bring in. Indeed, 98 out of 100 may be nice people, but we already know for a fact that many Muslims from war zones are not so nice. Ask the people of France and Belgium. One of the reasons that liberals give for wanting to take in thousands of Syrian refugees is that it's the right thing to do and that America has welcomed immigrants. These liberals leave out the fact that everything has changed. America used to be prosperous. Now we have over 92 million working-age Americans out of work and over 100 million Americans on welfare and other government entitlements. Add that to the $20 trillion of debt that Obama will leave with us in January. We cannot compare today with yesterday. Back then, there was no welfare, Social Security, Medicare, disability, or food stamps. Immigrants came here to work and live the American dream. Today, we are a failed welfare state. I'll report on that in detail more next week. People come here to take advantage of us. Today, we cannot afford to take in hundreds of thousands of unskilled, uneducated, hopelessly poor refugees who require billions of dollars in assistance from day one. The cost to fund Obama's refugee plan is $55 billion. That estimate is questionable because government estimates are always low. In 1965, our government estimated that Medicare would cost $9 billion a year by 1990. $9 billion a year. The actual cost by 1990 was $67 billion. It's a fact provided by Obama's own government count that 91% of recent Muslim immigrants are on food stamps, 73% receive Medicaid, and just under 70% are on cash welfare. These refugees are overwhelming our economy and will tip us into bankruptcy. What better way to fundamentally transform America and to bring it down to the level of other world countries than to weaken its military, pit its people against one another, and burden it with unsustainable debt? Obama has accomplished just that. And Hillary Clinton offers us a continuation of Obama's policies that would drive the final nail into the American coffin. Keep a sharp eye on what's going on in Europe and the UK, including Sweden, Russia, Africa, and Germany. The nations of our world are being overrun by Muslims who have no intention of assimilating into those countries and are turning those countries into Islamic states. Muslims build mosques and they worship Allah freely in the United States. But in Muslim-dominated countries, they deny such freedom to others. Instead of reporting that hypocrisy, the mainstream media covers it up. A Muslim is charged with a mission to bring all of mankind into submission. That's what the word Islam means. And they are commanded to kill or enslave all who do not believe as they do. They are taught to take not the Jews and Christians as friends. Slay the infidels wherever you find them. Fight against those who believe not in Allah. Many Muslims claim to be peaceful, but they donate money to their religious leaders, the imams, who in turn donate that money to terrorists to buy bullets and bombs to kill Jews and Christians and our soldiers. They demand special rights for Muslims in their host country, and they seek their laws that we must obey. Sharia is a significant source of legislation in various Muslim countries. Some apply all or a majority of Sharia, and those include Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Brunei, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Yemen, and Mauritania. In those countries, Sharia prescribed punishments such as beheadings, floggings, and stonings continue. Jihad is an Islamic term referring to the religious duty of Muslims to maintain the religion. In Arabic, the word jihad is a noun meaning to strive, to apply oneself to struggle, to persevere. A person engaged in jihad is called a mujahid, the plural of which is mujahideen. The word jihad appears frequently in the Quran. Jihad is often translated as holy war. The beginnings of jihad are traced back to the words and actions of Muhammad in the Quran. This encourages the use of jihad against non-Muslims. When you hear the word hadith, know that it reflects the teachings, the deeds, and the sayings of the Islamic prophet, Muhammad. Apostasy in Islam is commonly defined as the conscious abandonment of Islam by a Muslim in word or deed. Barack Obama would be guilty of apostasy if he did indeed turn away from his Muslim birth. The punishment for apostasy includes state-enforced annulment of his or her marriage, seizure of the person's children and property, with automatic assignment to guardians or heirs, and a death sentence for the apostate. In sharp contrast to human rights activists, Islamic scholars and Islamist political parties consider universal human rights as an imposition of a non-Muslim culture on Muslim people. How ironic is that? Muslims do not want anyone to resist their culture or their laws, but demand that America change its customs and its laws to adapt to their culture. It is also ironic that the Quran contains 7 references to the fate of the people of Lut, LGBTQ people, and their destruction is associated explicitly with their sexual practices under Islam. There are varying opinions on how the death penalty of these LGBTQ people are to be carried out. Abu Kahar recommended toppling a wall on the evildoer or burning them alive, while Abu bin Talib ordered death by stoning or throwing them to death from the top of a minaret. Beheading was the normal method of executing the death penalty under classic Islamic law. Currently, Saudi Arabia is the only country in the world which uses decapitation, public decapitation, within its Islamic legal system. While we hear much about other Middle Eastern countries like Iran, Iraq, and Syria, the most extreme country in the region is the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. They endorse Wahhabism, an extreme version of Islam that the Saudis have used with their oil wealth to play both ends against the middle for decades. Domestic abuse is common in Muslim countries. Men are allowed to beat their wives for disobedience, rebellion, or ill conduct, just as a dog might be punished in America for disobedience. So it is with the women in the world of Islam. Yet Hillary's choice for vice president, Tim Kaine, has said that women in Muslim countries have it better than women here in America. Islamic terrorism is, by definition, terrorist acts committed by Muslim groups or individuals who profess Islamic or Islamic motivations or goals. Islamic terrorists have relied on particular interpretations of the tenets of the Quran and the Hadith, citing those scriptures to justify their violent tactics, including mass murder, genocide, child molestation, and slavery. The extreme violence from what amounts to ignorant savages posing as Islamists has been well documented. What kind of people practice the art of honor killings in their own families? These murders are a phenomenon in the West, where 95% of honor killings are perpetrated by Muslim fathers and brothers on their proxies. Even other Muslim women overwhelmingly believe that honor killings are needed punishment. Honor killings in Muslim families can come about for almost anything, ranging from something as simple as a woman having been raped and blamed for it, and killed by a father or brother to protect their honor. The Pew Research Center found that support for the death penalty as punishment for people who leave the Muslim religion was 86% in Jordan, 84% in Egypt, 76% in Pakistan, and 80% in Nigeria, among others. We are cautioned by people like Barack Obama to remember that not all Muslims are terrorists, that's true, but almost all terrorists are Muslims. I believe that his actions show that Barack Obama is a dedicated Muslim at heart, if not on paper. His rise to the presidency in America was not happenstance, but a well-planned con of the American people who brought America down as he pledged to do. He leaves us mired down in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, not just militarily, but financially, because he would not listen to his generals and told ISIS exactly when he would withdraw our troops and followed through. They simply waited for the taillights of our convoys before expanding their caliphate plans as they marched into Iraq. According to intelligence sources there, there are active ISIS terrorists in all 50 United States states. They are in 17 countries worldwide, where there were just two a couple of years ago. France and Belgium have paid a heavy price for Obama and Clinton's bad judgment in allowing ISIS to expand. These savage terrorists are in America now, and they have told us they are here and that they intend to kill us. Is Barack Hussein Obama a Muslim? Does it really matter? Carl?
My good, what another great commentary here today, and I think you've done another great job, and I appreciate you coming on the airwaves of WTSB, and we're still signing people up for the 25th, and if anyone would like to come and hear a great commentary by our friend here, Tom Joyner, just call us up here at WTSB and give us a phone number and how many seats you'd like reserved. You, Tom, had a great broadcast there. I enjoyed every minute of it, and we've had a lot of good comment on your talks here at WTSB this week.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that, and I would remind people we have about 20 seats left, as I understand it, around that number, for the October 25th talk that I will do at Holtz Lake Barbecue in Smithfield. And I remind you again that it will not be a political talk. So if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, doesn't matter. We're not going to talk politics that night. We might mention something early if, in fact, something has happened like just happened in New York. But this will be more of an inspirational talk, a way to go from A to Z without getting hung up in the middle in your financial matters and in your life. I look forward to seeing all of you there. And, Carl, God bless America.
And God bless Tom Joyner. Again, I'll re-echo here, God bless America, and God bless the people that listen to Tom and the radio station here on WTSB.